Welcome to today's episode. Here's a quick trailer for you. Be sure to stick around and catch the full episode.
I started doing events a long, long time ago, but they were different events than the events I probably did over the last decade. But I've always been a showman. And even back to when I was a kid doing magic shows in my garage for my neighbors, I love the idea of like having this vision in your head for an experience and then actually making it happen and seeing the faces of the people that experience it. I mean, they go crazy and they're ecstatic and they're euphoric. And that's like my nirvana. We sexified that business and it was extraordinary. We didn't really see momentous exponential growth in our business until we went from marketing to one to marketing to many. But I always say you can always tell who the pioneers are because they're the ones with the arrows in our back. Fast forward many years later, we have nearly 4,000 people in the San Juan Social Club. And I do events once a month for free as a public service to bring everyone together. The biggest challenge for any promoter, even the savvy ones, are getting butts in seats. It's tough. It's not easy. I felt like if I did this, it was going to be very public. And if I fell on my ass, everybody would know about it. He goes, because we live in the age of community, influencer, thought leader, call it what you may. He said, anytime you have like an inflection point, the ability to create community, you have to do it. It's too big an opportunity. It's 80% fun and 20% business, but our cruisers do some serious business.
We're in the age of community. We're in the age of thought leadership. And one of my biggest takeaways here is if you see the opportunity to be at the center of community or create community in this day and age, take it.
Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the podcast. Today we have a super special and fun guest with us today, Mr. Davin Michaels, all the way from Puerto Rico. Welcome, sir.
Hey, good to be here with you, buddy. We're both coming from Puerto Rico today.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Or like down the road from each other, maybe
not even right.
Half mile.
Yeah.
Well, great to be with you here today. And I'm super excited to have you on today's podcast because on this podcast, we're interviewing experts who specialize in running highly impactful and profitable live events. And you, my friend, have been in the business for decades, I think 3 or 4 decades. In addition to being a New York Times best-selling author, a serial entrepreneur, actually one of the biggest events, I think you ran ED, was it electronic dance music concerts, like 20 or 30,000 people.
That's right.
Early in life. And you've been running events at various parts of your business models for years. And even today, you run the San Juan Social Club cruise. And part of that is an annual cruise on the Virgin Cruise Line, where you, I think this year you're on track to bring, what, 400 people together for an event at sea?
500 people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you are no stranger when it comes to knowing how to put on an event and get people to show up and have an impactful experience for them. So yeah, this is a great episode, guys. Tune in. Make sure you pull your pencils out. Stop whatever else you're doing. This is one that you're going to want to listen to and probably go back and listen to again and again. But okay, let's jump in, man. I'm super curious to hear about your background. You have a super serial entrepreneur, interesting background from the major events to the music world, including outsourcing. You outsourced a company, outsourcing company in the Philippines, over 1,000 employees. You know, what first sparked your experience for love of events and creating environments where people show up and get connected and take action?
Yeah, well, it's great to be here with you, Rudy. And that's a really good question because I started doing events a long, long time ago, but they were different events than the events I probably did over the last decade. But I've always been a showman. And even back to when I was a kid doing magic shows in my garage for my neighbors, I love the idea of like having this vision in your head for an experience and then actually making it happen and seeing the faces of the people that experience it. I mean, they go crazy and they're ecstatic and they're euphoric. And that's like my nirvana. People are kind of my nirvana. So just kind of give you a little background on me. Been self-employed for over 3 decades. Most of my business has sort of been in entertainment communications, but I've also had a kind of a 20-year track record in businesses that were not like that, but I brought my personality and the whole entertainment and communications thing to the biz. So like, for example, one of the things we'll probably talk about is my last exit, which was the company called 123 Employee. We were in the outsourcing business. The outsourcing business is call centers, very highly commoditized business. People just care about price and efficiency, but we sexified that business and it was extraordinary. So in the early days, I guess maybe my third or fourth business, I was the biggest EDM event producer in the US. I threw parties for 20,000 people a night. That was really awesome. And then I produced music and television for 15 years and just going on the road and touring and doing all that. I love it. I'm a showman. And then I started a little company, the one that I was just talking about, that blew up to 1,000 employees. And now we're part of a conglomerate with 6,000 employees. And I'm on the board of that company. And I mean, that was a very different business, but I still got that entertainment out of me because I spoke in 51 countries. And we utilized that to sort of grow that business. And we'll probably talk a lot more about that today.
Yeah, awesome, man. I'm curious, how did all that set up the foundation for the kind of events that you run today?
Well, I mean, it was all kind of lockstep. So the original parties, I mean, those were just blazing parties. They were huge. And then we started 123 Employee. And in the early days of 123, like so many businesses, we marketed one-to-one. But we didn't really see momentous exponential growth in our business until we went from marketing to one to marketing to many. So I'll kind of give you a little background. So when I started 123 Employee, we were first to market. Literally, we were first to market. There was one other company in our space. In the early days, we were doing virtual assistant services for entrepreneurs. And then later it sprang up into a sort of call center, but we still kept a huge presence in that space. And I like to think that when entrepreneurs think about outsourcing, they think about 123 Employee. And so in the early days, we were first to market. And I would say you can always, you know, a lot of people think that you have a home court advantage being first to market, but I would say you can always tell who the pioneers are because they're the ones with the arrows in our back. And that was certainly us. Entrepreneurs needed outsourcing, but they didn't want it because they didn't know that it existed for them. And so I realized early on that if we wanted to have a market, we would somehow have to figure out a way to carve out that market and create it. So eventually we decided to adopt an educational model. So I started writing books, eventually became a New York Times bestselling author, 10 books now. We started creating info products. I started speaking on stages all over the globe. And we started doing our own events, Australia, US, Europe, Asia, New Zealand, and we began educating our prospects and turning them into clients. And that's a methodology that we still use today. Today, it's pretty common, but back then it wasn't. And so event marketing was a huge component of what we did. And from a dollar standpoint, honestly, it probably represented maybe 8% of our business, but the branding, what happened from that was monumental and extraordinary. What sort of came of that, the byproduct of that. We'll get into that too, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, you definitely have a track record of getting people to show up to your events. So whether it's concerts, business summits, or cruise experiences.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, sorry, we didn't touch on that. So I did events for a decade, business events. And then we really don't do much of those events anymore. But I started a little group when I moved here to Puerto Rico, just to set the stage for this conversation, the context for it. I started a little group to sort of bring us expats together with the locals for like food conversation networking. Fast forward many years later, we have nearly 4,000 people in the San Juan Social Club. And I do events once a month for free as a public service to bring everyone together. We raise a lot of money for charity as well. And then once a year, like you said, we do a cruise on Virgin with about 500 founders from Puerto Rico and beyond.
That's super
now,
cool.
Now ask the question. So we set the context.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You have the track record, the concerts, the summit, and the cruises.
Yeah.
What do you see that most event hosts get wrong when it comes to filling their events? What are those mistakes that you see get made?
Yeah. Well, it certainly depends on the type of event. The biggest challenge for any promoter, even the savvy ones, are getting butts in seats. It's just, it's tough. It's not easy. There's a lot of ways to do it. You can buy traffic. You can hit your list. You can try to get your affiliates to mail for it. I think, I don't know if there are things that entrepreneurs get wrong when they're trying to fill an event. I mean, I suppose if you don't fill the event, you got it wrong. And that's because you just were not unbelievably tenacious because it just requires so much touch and so much attention, but it's all different. They're all different. So if you're doing a business event, let's say, there's so many variables. Are you doing a free event? Are you doing a paid event? Do you have big speakers? Is it more of a content that pulls people to the event? So I think we really have to talk about more in the context of the event. What exactly is it? There's so many different variables. But, you know, especially for people that are starting to do events for the first time, it's just not easy to get butts in seats. But I'll give you some thoughts on it. So if it's a paid event, if they pay over $97, the odds are pretty good they're going to show. So you'll probably have 80 to 90% show rate. So you could charge people. Having said that, for a decade, we did free events. Now, we had 80% no show. We had 20% show. Because if you do something free, nobody has any skin in the game. So the day of the event comes and they've got meetings and kids and things to attend to. And they go, I'm just going to blow it off because they don't have any money in it. So if they spend 97 or above, they generally show. Having said that, though, a lot of people, I'd say the majority of people don't do free events. I'm a big believer in free events. Why? Because we would throw free events and have hundreds of people show up and not pay anything to get in, buy a $35,000 program. So happened all the time. And those people might have not come because of the barrier to entry, even though it's just $100 or a few hundred dollars. Now they might have come too. Unfortunately, you just never know.
That's great, man. Inside of that, I heard several things that related to tactics and beliefs. One, you believe that you got to be tenacious. It's a high touch. You got to focus on it.
And sorry to interrupt, but another thing too is once they've registered for the event, you have to have a whole campaign just to make sure they show. It's not enough to just sell them a ticket and think that they're coming.
I couldn't agree more on that. That's one of the services that we provide many clients. We call them confirmation call campaigns.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's a chance for you as the sales team to get intel on that prospect. And who knows, like we had a team once that would call everyone and start selling them before they came to the event. And sometimes we would sell somebody a $35,000 package before they even came to the event. And the question is why and how? Well, we had a great team, but also sometimes people come to your event and they're already pre-sold. They've seen you, they've been following you, they know you have something to sell them. And they're kind of like, I want to work with Davin. I already know I'm going and they're going to try to sell me something and I'm going to buy it. You get a lot of that.
Yeah. I also appreciate the points you made about free events versus paid events and kind of the expectations around that. Hey, free events are great. You can get a lot of people to register. And if there's no skin in the game, something comes up, they change their minds.
Totally.
You get 20% to show up versus charging at least $97. You're looking at closer to 80% show up.
Correct.
Absolutely. Right. 80 versus 80-20.
100%. It's kind of weird.
I think it's a super important message for audience to hear. It's important.
It's a decision you have to make. I mean, let's think about that. Okay, so if I get 1,000 people to register, I'll have 200 show. And if you charge 97, you don't have to have 1,000 people register. You have to have, I don't know whatever the numbers is, 80%. Yeah, whatever that is, right? But there's a lot of upsides. So again, somebody will come for free and they'll buy something expensive. And also, I have 1,000 or I have maybe 800 or 600 more people on my list than you do if you were charging. But having said that, a buyer is 10 times more valuable than an opt-in on your list. So there's pros and cons to both, and you have to make that decision. But at least this gives you the knowledge to know what's right for you potentially.
Yeah, that's great. And actually, I'm going to continue down that thread here as far as filling events. So many opt-ins think that filling events is all about running paid ads. But you specifically have run events that have been a little bit more of a pull marketing towards your or brand.
Totally. I mean, I've done it a lot of different ways and we've done paid traffic. Paid traffic, lower show rate. We've done just hitting our list. Once somebody's been on your list for quite some time, it's a lot easier to get them to an event. We also use our joint venture partners. They would mail for us. In those scenarios, they didn't know who we were, but that affiliate kind of shared their credibility. They showered their credibility on us saying like, hey, you should go to Davin's event. And then lastly, and my guess is most of you that are watching this probably don't aspire to have a cruise. There's a million events on land and not that many cruises, but cruise marketing is a whole different thing. I don't even think you could run paid traffic to get cruisers. I mean, it's conceivable, but I don't think it would work out financially. Cruising is super high touch because you're asking somebody to take a week off if they're in your hometown. then sure, they could jump on the boat here. But like for my cruise, half the people come from Puerto Rico, half the people come from all over the globe. Those people have to get on a plane, fly to Puerto Rico, jump on a ship with us for a week, and then go home. It's a huge commitment for people, and it's super high touch. Like, we have to touch the, pardon the French, the shit out of them to get them to come. It's a whole different sale. Like, I could have somebody with 100,000 lists say, hey, Dev, I'm going to mail for your cruise. Great. That'd be awesome. You know how many people will register? About 3. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's less than, I mean, that's
like, yeah, 0.003% or something like that. It's pretty damn low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you brought up a good point. Like, marketing, promoting for a cruise is its own animal, its own thing. It's even
they all are. Whatever the event is, you're going to have a specific marketing strategy for that event.
Yeah. So for the cruise specifically, how do you craft your messaging so that people feel like they have to be there? What's your angle?
We make it super personal, that all of our cruisers believe that they have a relationship with me prior to them coming. And that's really key. Now, once they come, they do have a relationship with me, but we like literally build a relationship. They feel like we're homies before they even jump on the boat. That's the only way to do it. Mm. And look, if you can do the same thing for your online event, you're ahead of the game. You're just going to get more stickiness, higher reg, higher show, higher buy. Mm-hmm. So I think developing that relationship, whether you have to do it or not, is a great idea to do. Build a friendship with your prospect.
Yeah. And I also, one of the things I noticed is you also with the San Juan Social Club is you built a community.
Yeah. So I'll tell you kind of a funny story. So I built the San Juan Social Club as a community over the last several years. The cruise next year will be our third annual cruise. Our first cruise, we had 238 cruisers, super high level group. So our group did 110 million in deals between each other. Puerto Rico is a tax haven. So it's pretty cool. Second year, 438 or 458, something like that. This year we'll have 500. And then Virgin has kind of capped us at 500, which is a real bummer. But I'll tell you something. So I had this vision, this idea for a Puerto Rico cruise 2 days after moving to Puerto Rico 8 years ago. But at the time, this was 5 months after Hurricane Maria. The island was in shambles. No cruise ships were even coming to Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico's offline. And so the timing was bad, but we had that idea very early on. Years go by. And by the way, I'll tell you, my cruise is not an original idea. It was inspired by another group cruise that I've spoken on for the last decade called the Marketers Cruise, roughly about the same amount of people. By the way, it took them 16 years to get to 450 people. It took us 2, which is pretty neat. But it was molded around that. I wanted to create that unique experience for my people. So anyways, had the idea a long time ago, then built the community, not really thinking about it, then a few years ago, I was like, you know what, let's do this. I want to do this. It was an idea. So I reached out to my booker, who's become my partner, and he got the itinerary, the contract. We did all the legwork. It was a lot of work because a lot of decision-making because we wanted to go with Virgin. Virgin was in an interesting financial situation at the time. They were built during COVID. As a result, they had just taken a $500 million bridge loan. I couldn't even get the insurance companies to insure Virgin Cruisers. It was very risky, but we really wanted to go with Virgin. So anyways, we finally got it all to work. Finding a schedule, finding a itinerary that would go around the Caribbean was challenging. We just had a lot of challenges. But finally, we had a contract in hand. My partner calls me and he said, okay, we've got the contract. Are we doing this? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. Because I know that 7 out of 10 group cruises never see the light of day. People come up with an idea. Hey, we're going to do this group cruise. They usually don't fly. And I felt like if I did this, it was going to be very public. And if I fell on my ass, everybody would know about it. And I just wasn't sure. So I said, let me take the weekend and let me think about it. And I was speaking to one of my dear friends who runs our dev team in India for the last decade, one of my best friends. And I was telling him about this. And he said to me, he goes, you have to do it. And I'm like, why do I have to do it? He goes, because we live in the age of community, influencer, thought leader, call it what you may. He said, anytime you have like an inflection point, the ability to create community, you have to do it. It's too big an opportunity. And I was like, all right, mother. I'm like, all right, fine, let's go. And we took the plunge, and it was not easy to get people to take a week off of their hectic schedules from all over the globe and come do this. But then we did the event. And here's the hilarious thing. I had this vision, and I think this is a good lesson for you event producers, is that when you come up with an event, you have this vision for what it's going to be. And then it either becomes that or it doesn't. I mean, probably my guess is 8 out of 10 times, if you come up with this idea, you put everything into it, you probably pull it off. And it's extraordinary. It's a wonderful feeling. It's so fulfilling. And so I had this idea in my head of what this was going to be. But my cruisers had no clue. They didn't know what it was going to be. They just signed up. You know what I mean? And so on the first day, I go, hey, I go, how many of you, like, you know, the room's full. I go, how many of you, like, think, what did I say? I think I said, like, how many of you have any clue what's going to happen this week? And, like, nobody knew. I go, you guys are amazing. You have no clue what this is going to be, but you are in for a treat. And then it was extraordinary. It was even better than the plan, because when you take this idea, but then you infuse it with energy from people and love, if you will, then it just becomes magic. And so, yeah, so now I have this magical cruise, which is pretty neat. It's a legacy project too, because probably be around a decade from now. So,
awesome, man. It's so cool.
Yeah.
For someone who's listening to this and maybe they're considering going out to the cruise, what kind of entrepreneur gets the most out of the cruise?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what the secret sauce is. So there's two groups of people that are on the cruise. So one is all the incredible people from Puerto Rico. If you don't know, Puerto Rico is a tax haven. It attracts a very high level of founder, people that are doing really well. And then just all kinds of amazing. Like, we have all the movers and shakers of Puerto Rico. So they're extraordinary. They're doing some incredible things, really incredible globally. But then the other half of the group is all the amazing people I've met from speaking in 51 countries. And these are all the movers and shakers from their respective countries. These are the people that were on stage with me all over the globe. And that has become our secret sauce, the people. So basically, our people from Puerto Rico get excited about what the people from all over the globe are doing. All our friends from all over the globe get excited about what everyone in Puerto Rico is doing. And we create magic. And so we have networking, we have world-class speakers, and tons of fun. It's 80% fun and 20% business, but our cruisers do some serious business. And if you want to check it out, it's sanjuansocialcruise.com. That's sanjuansocialcruise.com. And if you decide to come with us, make sure to, in the dropdown, select Rudy's name and you'll end up in the cool kids area. So make sure to do that.
Appreciate that. Yeah, we'll definitely take care of anyone who comes in through listening to this episode, and we'll do something fun and special together as well.
Absolutely.
Dev, man, this has been super, super awesome. I appreciate you sharing that with our audience. We'll be sure to include a link to that here somewhere near the episode as well. So that'll be here nearby. Quick recap here of my takeaways. Coming back to events and keeping people engaged, it's community is what I'm understanding. Like, you've built community over the years, you've maintained community, and when you've had community, you've been able to host a cruise in 2 years, hit a record that took another cruise line 10 plus years to do. 16, and you continue to maintain that community, right, over time. And you said we're in the age of community, we're in the age of thought leadership. And one of my biggest takeaways here is, if you see the opportunity to be at the center of community or create community in this day and age, take it, right? Because it's needed. So thank you, man. I really appreciate you sharing some of those takeaways.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And we'll have to come back again another time so we could talk about outsourced sales teams, because we didn't even touch on that. So
that's true. That's true. So for people listening to this podcast, let them know that we run a company that does outsourced sales for lab events. So we support in the back of the room. I work with several people. I know, Devin, you've worked in the model for many years as well. You're very familiar with it. We can circle back on that as well in your decade plus experience. But I really want to make sure today that people could hear about how you pulled off this epic event known as the San Juan Social Club Cruise.
Yeah.
It's special, man. From what I've heard, I haven't been on there yet.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But I look forward to the opportunity. Any final words of wisdom you'd like to share with our audience here as we just kind of tie a bow on this today?
Yeah, absolutely. So, throwing events is both a science and an art. The artistry is kind of what you bring to it, the content, your personality, what you create. But there's a tremendous amount of science to it if you're going to be selling stuff. Everything from getting the butts in seats, making sure they stick, making sure that they're already in a certain way pre-sold before they show up. And then once they get there, making sure that you've got a team to help them make the right decision. And then that you are in sync with that team, that you're edifying them, they're edifying you, and you're working kind of as this cohesive unit to make it all happen. So if you don't feel like what you're doing has science, then you're not on the right track. So you got to bring a guy like Rudy in or whoever you need on your team to make sure that you're incredibly strategic about your event. So that's my two cents.
I appreciate that, man. And that's a lot coming from you after decades of experience, knowing that you got to have a method, you got to have a science, got to have an approach.
Absolutely.
You not leave it up to chance or luck.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Again, sure. For audience listening to this, highly recommend reach out to Devin. Devin, if people want to learn more about you, obviously there's the cruise. How else can they learn more about you?
Yeah. DavinMichaels.com, DavinMichaels. And I'm Davin Michaels on everything. So.
Yes. Yes. You are easy to find on social. Yeah, you're quite large out there.
Yeah.
Awesome, brother. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Pleasure was all mine.
Go check out Davin. Click on the links. Follow him on his socials. If you're interested in the cruise, hit me up. Send me a message. Happy to chat with you about it or connect you with Davin. Davin, it's been awesome having you on, man. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rudy. Really.